This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. We pray that God's Word will give you new insights into the importance of motherhood in our culture. The music heard on today's program is sung by the National Christian Choir. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the sanctity of the home. We thank you that their parents can introduce their children to Jesus Christ, that eternal word can be implanted in their soul at an early age. For then we know, according to your word, that it will not return void. Hear our prayer. We ask it in your holy name. Amen. My text today is taken from the 22nd chapter of Proverbs, verse 6. Train a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And again in the 55th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, so it is, my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth. Your word is eternally true. Amen.
Jesus, I adore you.
Friends in Christ, the place of motherhood in the home today varies from family to family. There are several different plans, and who is to say which is the best? There is the stay-at-home mom and dad, who is the sole breadwinner. In other words, mom's going to stay home, do most of the chores, and dad's going to be out there bringing in the necessary money to make that family function as they want it to do. Then there is the home where both mother and dad work out of the home and both share in the domestic duties. Now, these seem to break down into two different patterns. Mom works because two incomes are needed to maintain the family standard of living. That's one pattern. The other one is mom works because she has to for psychological reasons, fulfillment. I've had more than one mother tell me, if I were not out there doing my work, I would not be fulfilled and would not make a very good mother or wife. Then there is the single parent who has to work purely out of financial necessity. Well, the question is debated again and again around the coffee pot. Which of these plans is the most biblical? And today, after doing a lot of vacillating on this subject, I would have to say, I don't know. I know the one I favor, but that does not make it the most God-pleasing. I suggest that we take a look at the place of mother as it is found in a couple of passages in the Bible. This is not, of course, an exhaustive study, but they speak very clearly, these words, to mother and her place in 2006. The Bible teaches very clearly, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. What does that really mean? Is that the role of a mother? Yes, it is, but it's also the role of the father. Now, in his writing the book of Proverbs, King Solomon gives a lot of good wisdom. He is a man who must have known something about the place of a mother in a household and the place of a woman as far as being a wife is concerned. For in 1 Kings, the chapter 11, verse 13, we read that Solomon had 700 wives. So he had quite a few women to look at to decide what really is basic in motherhood. He goes on and describes one of these women who is evidently a mother, and he calls her really the great mother, the woman of noble character. Now, what does she do? And I'm just lifting a few of these passages for you from the 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs. There he writes, she is a homemaker. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and for her servant girl. Can you imagine that? She's up real early. She makes a breakfast. Do you suppose she served her husband breakfast in bed? Well, we have to leave that for our imagination. She is a businesswoman. Solomon writes in verses 16 and 18, she considers a field and buys it, and then out of her earnings she plants a vineyard. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. She stays up late. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She does manual work, too. For he says in verse 17, she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She's been out there working. She is no sissy. But on the other hand, she has a spinning wheel in the parlor. And she makes her children's clothes in verses 19 and 21. She says, I can sit back in my rocking chair when it's cold outside and know my children are well clothed because I made that clothing. She's a volunteer. She's out in the community helping the poor. Verse 20. She's a teacher. She's a person who Solomon describes as one who speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She takes those little children and says, now I'm going to teach you how God wants you to live. I'm going to teach you the things that are necessary for you to know and be successful, whatever that meant in those days, in your hour. Now, when all of this is going on, as far as the mother is concerned, the big question is, where is the husband? And this floors me just a little bit. While she's home doing all of these things, quote, her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. Suppose he's down in the legislature, and his wife is home doing all the jobs that go along with running a household? Wow. Well, you can interpret it that way. You have to say that she is one busy woman, but she has a command from the Lord that must take top priority. Mother, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Is father included in this? Other portions of the Bible will say father certainly has an equal responsibility to train up that child too. Well, what plan does this woman follow? I guess you'd have to say it's a plan all of her own. She's out in the community, she's doing some work, she's a business person, and she runs right home and does all of the chores. Does she have a modern counterpart? And you know, you may not agree with me on this, because the work takes on different form. But I'm thoroughly convinced she does. I get this from watching my daughter-in-law and two daughters. I think they are just as busy. Two of them work out of the home, and one is a stay-at-home mom. Look at what they do. They prepare healthy meals for their families. I've eaten there, I know. They visit their friends who have problems and are hurting. I know that too. They bake cookies and visit the elderly. How those old faces brighten up. They attend their children's extracurriculum activities. And that's a full-time job in itself, if you take it seriously. They see that their children apply themselves to their schoolwork. Is the algebra done? Did you write the paper that you were supposed to write? Did you practice your violin, your trumpet, your piano? They see that their children apply themselves to their schoolwork. They are concerned about a good social life for themselves and for their families. They grow in their spiritual lives also. They attend Bible studies with other couples and sometimes individually as women getting together and discussing God's word. One of them teaches school. One of them practices medicine. And one of them, supposedly the stay-at-home mother, goes to the office with her husband real often and assists him with much of the work. They maintain a home that is not only clean but has a nice decor. They are the purchasing agents for their family in grocery, clothing, and furniture stores. They serve as the chief financial officer of the family income and keep the records. And so the list goes on. No, the woman in Proverbs looks very busy, and she is, but she's no more busy than most of our women today. But to the modern mother, God still gives this command. I don't know if he commands any of the other things that I've just mentioned, but this one is right there. And I emphasize mother because it's Mother's Day. Quote, train up a child, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is mother's job, but it is also dad's job. I'm just emphasizing mother because it's your day. The task cannot be assigned to anybody else but mom and dad. Others like the Sunday school teacher and the pastor can assist them in training the child and should, but the primary responsibility belongs to the parents. And the job in our day is very difficult. I believe it is more difficult today than it has been during the past 80 years, and that's all I can account for. The temptations that are out there facing our children are beyond description. You look at the television, you have a good education in what they're confronted with. You visit with your children and find out what's going on if you have a good relationship in their peer groups, and sometimes it will astound you. You read the newspaper and see what some of the kids are up to. Now, many of them are wonderful kids, a majority. But the other is out there, too. We live in a day of relativism. When I was a kid, this was right and that was wrong. Our children are not always taught that way. It's relative. We are taught that we've got to be broad-minded, and that the teachings of God's word, in some cases, have got to be muffled just a little bit because we are living in a different kind of an America than we were 50, 60, 80 years ago. And so there are all kinds of religions. Therefore, you cannot teach in the schools, but you can in the home, that there are not many ways to heaven. There is only one, and that is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. They are often taught that we're all going to get there. Get where? Get to heaven, of course. That is not what the Bible says. The confirmation program is sometimes quite different today. I'm not saying it's better. I personally think it was a little bit better in the past. That is up for grabs. The confirmation program that I knew as a child and as a pastor found the pastor right with those kids, and he was teaching them the Word of God. With the Bible in one hand and, in our case, Luther's Catechism in the other, they were taught, they were told to memorize. And when even the parents began to kick up their heels on that and say, memorization is passé, we had to say to them kindly but firmly, not in our curriculum. We have teachers who perhaps have had very little experience with Jesus Christ teaching in confirmation classes. I could never turn my ninth grade confirmation kids over to anybody. This was my responsibility. I was a called pastor to train the children in the way that they should go. Nothing can take a priority over that. Well, Holmes, you have to realize, and I know that there are some marvelous churches out there that are doing a better job than I ever did, but there are some where confirmation has become nothing more than a get-together where you just talked about the issues of the day and then took some cookies over to the old people's home to see how things are going there. You brought the children to the font. You take them home and introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a verbal instruction, and it is also an instruction in the way you and your husband live. You have this mandate from the Lord. I speak to you who are Christians, of course. If you're not a Christian and you're listening today, you may wonder, well, what's that all about? Boy, I don't want to get connected up with that group. The Christian, the person who claims Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, has a real commitment to the Savior, and a part of that commitment is lived out in his or her relationship to the children. Well, you ask the question, but how does this all get done? You've listed what the people did back in Solomon's day. You've listed what goes on in your day, and it's all true. How will we get it all done? And that is a question that you will have to wrestle out in your home. But you must do some prioritizing. And this number one has to be to introduce your child to Jesus Christ, to the basic teachings, to tell them that they're created in the image of God, that they fall into sin. Perhaps they don't understand that word yet. Call it naughty if you want to. But then it matures as they get older. Feel their questions as they surface, but feel them from the standpoint of the Bible. Feel their service when you begin to wonder if they're maturing and they're living in this sexual, complicated mess. Tell them that all sex outside of marriage is lust and not according to God. Mothers and dads, how you answer the questions about working mothers and fathers is between you and your spouse. But if you are Christian, your number one responsibility is to train up your child to know the Lord Jesus, to let him know that on the cross he died for their sins, to let them know that he will walk with them, guide them, strengthen them, comfort them. You let them know that he alone will be able to carry them through victoriously in this culture of which we are a part. So because it is Mother's Day, I close with this question to you. To you who are mothers, and how I thank God for my old mother, who now lives with the Lord, and with my wife, who was such a marvelous mother to our children. Mothers, have you told your children about Jesus Christ? If you haven't, it's not too late, even if they have gone past the 50 mark too. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you this day for your word that tells us so specifically what our primary task is, to train up our children in the way of the Lord. And we thank you for the promises that you have given to us, that if we would do that, even though we might see them go away, we can also have the promise that they will return. For your word does not return void, and your word is not something that people can forget, even if it be on the last days of their lives. So give us comfort and strength and hope in this difficult time to raise children. Thank you, God, for those mothers who know you and share it with their children. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We praise God for His provision and thank our faithful listeners for your gifts and prayers necessary to make this ministry a reality. Your gifts allow us to buy radio time throughout the country and internet access around the world to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that if this ministry has been a spiritual benefit, you will consider a donation of any amount. All gifts are tax deductible. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. Reverend Larson writes the feature article for each edition. The theme of the upcoming issue is Passion. If you would like to receive this mailing, please call our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.